Today is kind of an awkward Sunday in the church year. This past Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension, the culmination of the gospel story when Jesus is enthroned as King of heaven and earth. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, when the Spirit is poured out and the church is born. But today, we're caught in the 10 days when the action just pauses. We aren't really even sure what to call today. The lectionary calls it the seventh Sunday of Easter. Our prayer book and bulletin calls it the Sunday after Ascension. Some call it Expectation Sunday. Others Waiting Sunday or the Sunday of Ascension Tide. Did I sound really smart just then? To be honest, I didn't grow up observing the church calendar, and when I first started to, I thought it was just doing too much. I couldn't keep up with all the fasting and the feasting, the up and down. I couldn't handle all the names for different days. It was like somebody took all of the big, fancy Christian words, put feast in front of half of them, dressed the other half in purple, and then threw them on a calendar. Ascension. Pentecost, Transfiguration, Annunciation. I feel like this kind of thing was only for the smart, holy people. But the longer I've lived inside the church calendar, the more I've come to love it. Over time, I realized it's not just a random schedule of holy days that make us feel smart and pious. It's a way of immersing ourselves in the story of God. The church calendar helps us inhabit the full embodied story of Jesus, which in turn gives meaning to our full embodied stories. For the first half of the year, the church walks through the life of Jesus together. And then after Pentecost, we shift into ordinary time as the church is sent out to live as Christ's people in the world, empowered by the Spirit. If you strip back all of the fancy words, it's really just a story. The big story of God's redemption of the world and our place in it. We live into the story of Jesus, and then we live out the story of the church. To dumb the whole thing down for myself, I'm a simple girl, I've come to think of the church calendar like a roller coaster. That may sound like a nightmare to some of you, but I love roller coasters, like ridiculously love them. I was telling some friends how when I was first applying for ordination, I interviewed with our dean, and he asked me, "What makes you feel most alive to God's presence?" And without thinking at all, I blurted out, "Roller coasters." Thank God that answer didn't disqualify me. I was very embarrassed. But really, they do make me feel alive to God. I think because movement makes us feel alive. When we're moving, our hearts pump, our senses wake up, we're alive. The church calendar keeps us moving through the story. We get on the ride and immediately descend through the longing of Advent. And then we rise into the joy of Christmas and Epiphany, and then Ash Wednesday sends us plunging back down into Lent as we follow Jesus to the cross and down to the grave. And just when it feels like we've bottomed out, Easter erupts in resurrection. The great climb begins again as Christ rises from the dead and carries us upward into 40 days of hope and joy, and finally, at the ascension, the ride reaches its peak. Christ ascended into glory at the right hand of the Father. So the roller coaster of the Jesus story ended on Thursday, with him victorious on his throne, his enemies made his footstool. Jesus is Lord over all things. Next Sunday, at Pentecost, we get on the next ride. The Spirit will be poured out, sending the church into a winding, thrilling, beautiful life on the move. Through ordinary time, we learn to follow the up and down mission of Jesus in the world, humility and hope, death and resurrection, up and down and up again. But today, we're stuck in an awkward 10-day pause. Today, we aren't going up or down. We aren't really moving at all. We're just waiting, standing with the disciples, our feet on the ground, staring up at an empty sky. I try to imagine how those disciples felt after the cloud took Jesus out of their sight. They had just been on this wild ride with him for 3 years, walking with him, eating with him, listening to him, watching him heal people. They'd been through so many ups and downs with him, grieved his death, celebrated his resurrection, and now he was just gone. He hadn't even answered their pressing question yet. Is this the time, Lord? What was his plan? What was his timeline for seeing their story through to the end? They're left without answers, without their teacher, and without the promised Spirit. Feet on the ground, staring up at an empty sky. And I wonder how many of us might relate to that. How many of us have had moments or seasons when our spiritual life seems to just come to a halt? Times when we feel stuck in unanswered questions and we can't get our bearings. Maybe after a big life change, or after a long season of suffering or moving so much we just collapse. How many of us have had moments where it seems like God's presence has just up and left and we don't know what to do? We haven't lost faith necessarily, but we just aren't growing, aren't moving. How many of us have had seasons when we don't feel like we have a clear purpose or a clear sense of where our life is headed? We're just waiting and toiling under an empty sky. I think these seasons, these pauses, might be the hardest for people of faith. We've been through the lows enough to know how suffering can tether us to Jesus. We've felt the fleeting highs of joy and resurrection, and we know how sweet they are. But the pauses, the times of spiritual stagnation or numbness, those are unsettling. We question if we've done something wrong. Why has God gone quiet? We keep staring at the sky, wondering if we'll ever hear and feel him again. I think these seasons are much more common than any of us would like to admit. So I'm thankful for Sundays like today. They remind us that the awkward pause is part of the story too. We can see in our gospel reading today that Jesus knows these pauses will come. Before his death, he's already anticipating how disorienting this moment in Acts will be when he is taken up and we are left on the ground. This section of John's gospel comes right after the farewell discourse where Jesus teaches the disciples, prepares them for his departure, promises them the Spirit, but he knows he can't really prepare them for how it will feel to have to wait without him. So in chapter 17, he shifts to prayer. He first describes how he's coming to the finish line of his mission, and then he prays for the ones that will be left behind. And he affirms them to the Father. He declares who they are and who they belong to. They have kept your word. They have believed that you sent me. They are yours. Now, we know these disciples were far from perfect. Their faithfulness was shaky at best. But Jesus isn't worried about that. They are yours. They are yours. The pauses in our spiritual life have a way of making us question everything. Our faith, who we are, how God feels about us. This morning, we get to hear the words that Jesus says about us behind our back. She is yours. He is yours. Our feelings will ebb and flow. Our growth will stall and stop and start again, but our identity is forever sealed by the finished work of Jesus. We are marked by the cross, even when the presence of Christ feels absent. And it's so comforting to me that on the night before his death, Jesus has this awkward moment of his departure in mind. He says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but they're in the world, and I'm coming to you." He knows that awkward pause is coming. And guess what? He's not shaking his head in disappointment. He's not rolling his eyes in frustration. He's not ambivalent or mad or impatient. It's a comfort to know that no matter how distant Jesus may seem to you, no matter how stuck you feel, he prays words of love and belonging over you. You are his. He cares for you. He prays for you. But he knows that you can't navigate these pauses alone. He knows that when his disciples can no longer hold on to his physical body, they have to learn to hold on to each other. He prays, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." In the moment that Jesus is lifted up, as his disciples stare into the heavens, we can take heart that they are not alone. As they cope with Jesus' absence and endure the waiting, they have each other. The two men in white tell them, "Why are you standing looking up to heaven? Look around. Look at each other. Don't spend any more time fixating on what feels absent. Look around at who is present." This is where presence can be found when our spiritual life feels paused. In community. The times when we feel God's absence more than we feel his presence, they make us realize how much we need each other. We are not ourselves by ourselves. Acts tells us that the disciples did quit staring up at the sky and return to Jerusalem together. They gathered together. They devoted themselves to prayer together until they received the Spirit together. Despite all of our self-delusions, we were not made to be self-sufficient or autonomous. We cannot survive on the roller coaster or off of it without community. When our spiritual life feels stagnant, I don't know about you, but my temptation is to withdraw, to isolate, and just try to ride it out alone till I feel better. But Jesus knew that we needed a community. So he prays that we would be one, that we would look past our differences, let go of our grievances, and find shelter in each other's love and care. So Jesus gives us exactly what we need to endure the hard seasons of spiritual pause that he prepares us will come. He gives us the church. When we can't feel or sense the presence of God, someone else carries that promise for us. When we feel like we're stuck, the church keeps us connected to the life of Christ. When we feel like we have no purpose, the church reminds us who we are and who we belong to. And when we feel numb to the things of God, the church calendar keeps us immersed in the story anyway. Even on days like today. So today, I'm thankful that the church refuses to rush us past this awkward pause, because we need to know that the awkward pauses in our journey are not meaningless. The 10-day pause after the ascension is when the disciples learn how to endure uncertainty and absence. They learn how to move forward together, to cling to each other, to stop gazing endlessly at an empty sky and look at one another. So maybe your life with God right now is full speed ahead. Maybe you're moving and grooving and you feel alive in the Spirit. And if that's you, thanks be to God. But know that there are others here who are stuck in an awkward pause, feeling God's absence more than his presence. And they need you, not to fix them, but to be with them, to carry the promise alongside them. These awkward pauses will come for all of us. They're part of the story, but we can endure them together because we belong to God and we belong to each other. The roller coaster will pick us up back next week. The Spirit is coming. But today, we're just together as we pause. Heavenly Father, you are ours. We are yours. Make us one. Amen.